We have prayed for the Word of God to be at work in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Before we go to the scripture for today, a little introduction. We are returning to the book of Revelation. Last summer, Pastor Joel and I preached a series from the book of Revelation, and I concluded that series with a message from the last two chapters, Revelation 21 and 22. And we are going to look at part of that passage again today, partly because I've been meditating on the beauty of trees in creation and in scripture, and this passage has the most wonderful tree I can imagine. And partly because good stories are worth coming back to again and again. We learn this from our children and grandchildren who want to hear the best stories over and over. And some of us adults also revisit good books like old friends, or we retell stories from our own life or our family history because they are worth telling and hearing again. And Revelation 21 to 22 is worth hearing over and over again. I've actually been sharing parts of this story in Revelation, this vision from Revelation 21-22, more frequently lately in my visits and conversations because I'm talking with people who need to hear that a day will come when God will wipe away every tear, when pain will be no more, when God will make everything new. There's so much hope and beauty offered in these last two chapters of the Bible. And today we're only focusing on five verses from Revelation 22, the first five verses. Here's what it says. This is John, the Apostle John, speaking. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I wonder, this past week, have you been noticing any Psalm 1 trees as you've been walking around or driving around, or noticing streams of water? Last Sunday afternoon, Ed and I went for a walk. We went for a walk in the woods of Lepard Nature Preserve up the East Beltline, and I took a few more photos. But the stream was nearly dry, so I didn't get much water in my photos. So this week I'll use some of those wonderful drawings of trees in my message too. And I invite you to keep drawing. Draw some more this week. We can use pictures of trees in our liturgy for the rest of the summer. It's the church season of ordinary time with the liturgical color green and the color of growth. So when we see the green growth of trees and plants all around us, we are reminded of how we are rooted in Christ and how we may continue to grow in faith all along life's journey. And as Abby testified, as we grow, we can seek God's face more and more each day. That's Lepard Nature Preserve on the screen. The end of the Bible shows us what it will be like when we actually see God face to face. And Revelation 21 has described how there will be a new heaven and a new earth when the holy city comes down from heaven to earth, and everything will be made new. And God will dwell with us. God will be right here present with all God's children. It even says that there will be no more temple in that city because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb will be its temple. And I hope to come back to that idea near the end of this message. But first, let's look at that river and the tree that and the river that flows from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The river is crystal clear with sparkling light dancing on the surface of that pure water streaming down the main street of the city. And the tree that stands on the riverside always has ripe fruit and healing leaves. It is the tree of life, growing by the water of life. And this tree and this river remind us of other stories in the Bible. At the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and everything was good, Genesis 2 tells us that streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden, and from there it was separated into four headwaters. That's what we hear in Genesis 2. And then in Genesis 3, it tells us that Adam and Eve ate fruit from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and a curse came upon them. And they were banished from the garden so that they could not eat from the tree of life. But before they were banished, they were given a promise. A promise that generations later would come one who would crush the serpent's head. That was the first promise of the Redeemer who would save God's people. That's the story at the beginning of the Bible, a story we tell again and again. Then last week we heard about the first chapter in the prayer book of God's people, the book of Psalms, where there's this beatitude, blessed is the one who meditates on God's word like a transplanted tree by streams of water, fresh water that gives life and nourishes growth so that the tree bears fruit in season and its leaves do not wither. And then the Bible has the writings of the prophets. The prophet Ezekiel spoke words of hope to the people of God, the Jews who were captive in exile in Babylon. And his words assured them that God would gather them back again to their own land. And near the end of Ezekiel's prophecy, in Ezekiel 47, there's an amazing vision of a river coming from the temple that would be restored to God's people. Here's what it says in Ezekiel 47. The man who was talking to Ezekiel brought me back to the entrance to the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. And then he describes how first water trickles from the south side. And then as the man leads Ezekiel on, measuring the distance from the temple, the water becomes ankle deep, then knee deep, then waist deep. And finally, the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river no one could cross, Ezekiel says. And then he asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. And the man said that the river would flow to the Dead Sea and make the salty water fresh, so that where the river flows, everything will live. And then the man told Ezekiel, "Fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them, and their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing." So we have this tree in Psalm 1 and Ezekiel 47. And now that prophecy about the river and the trees is fulfilled in this revelation to John. Even better, here the river is described as the water of life. And the tree is the tree of life. The tree that was planted in the Garden of Eden now has that ever-bearing fruit and leaves that are healing. N.T. Wright says of this, "The tree which grows in profusion on either bank of the tree, of either bank of the river, is the tree of life. The tree which was forbidden to Adam and Eve as they were expelled from the garden." He says it would have been utterly disastrous for them to be made immortal in their sinful state. And the tree of life is not merely there to provide healing for this person or that. Now the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. God establishes the city of his presence in order that the nations may come not only to do homage, but to be healed. And the city is to be priestly, gathering up the praises of the rest of the creation. And the city is to be royal, the source of healing, that wise order through which God's rule is to be established. God's rule was also established by what happened on another tree. The story of what God is doing is not complete without talking about Jesus and the tree that was made into a cross. Colossians 1 tells us Jesus, the Son, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The cross. The tree that Jesus died on. Jesus had come from heaven to earth to save us. So he died on a cross and then rose again, conquering death and bringing new life. Jesus Christ is at the center of everything, as we heard in Colossians 1. From the creation to the cross to the throne in the New Jerusalem, Jesus is the center of the story, and Jesus calls himself the living water. And the crystal clear, sparkling water in Revelation 2 reminds us of the purifying, sustaining waters of baptism and how we also die to our old selves and rise again with Christ by his Spirit. And the tree of life reminds us that Jesus came to reverse the curse in the Garden of Eden. The tree that was forbidden now becomes the source of life, whose fruit nourishes us. Just as the cup in the Lord's Supper signifies our participation in the blood of Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Because of what Jesus has already done to redeem the world, this revelation about the end of God's story brings hope. Hope to people who are sick. Hope to people who are stressed. Hope to people who are sad. Because it also promises that in the new heaven and earth, there will be no more death, no more crying, no more pain, and all tears will be wiped away. And it presents a vision also of what we can begin to live into already now. Though we cannot see God face to face yet, We know that God is dwelling with us, dwelling among us by the Spirit. And we can practice habits that bring us into closer relationship with God in our lives here and now. And as we heard last week in Psalm 1, we can meditate daily on God's word. And we can pray, we can talk to God. And to remind us to center our lives on Jesus Christ, while we read the Bible or while we pray, we can hold on to a cross. I was given this olive wood cross before I moved to Ludington for my first call to a church there. And I heard that one of you gave our synod delegates a similar cross of olive wood. With our church girls in Ludington, we made small clay crosses. Now we can hold these crosses while we read God's word or while we pray. Sometimes it helps to concentrate when you're holding something in your hand. And sometimes we can use these crosses as we are having important conversations with one another. We can also enjoy communion with our Creator by spending time outdoors. Have you heard of forest bathing? Forest bathing? I heard about it from one of my relatives. Studies actually show that spending time in the woods can reduce stress. It can lower your blood pressure. It can improve your mood. So already now, the leaves of the trees can bring healing and a sense of well-being. And as we are restored by a walk in the woods, we can bring a calm composure to challenging situations where we work to seek justice and show mercy. Maybe we don't have much impact on all the nations, but we can still be a source, a stream of healing into lives around us as we practice being citizens of the already but not yet kingdom of God that is pictured in Revelation 22. Robert Mounce, who was a New Testament scholar and president of Whitworth College, wrote this about the end of the Bible. He wrote, "In divine providence, our Bible ends with the ultimate restoration of the original creation. Although sin has marred the history of the human race, God has, through the redemption wrought by his Son, set into motion a new humanity. In the present age, God rules the heart of all who have turned to him in faith. In the age to come, that reign will find its full completion, that reign of God. He says, sin will be forever removed, and the design of Eden will be totally realized." The design of Eden will be realized in the new creation. We began our worship today with Psalm 145, where generations tell each other about God's mighty acts. Next week, Ed and I hope to be with our children and granddaughter at a family reunion with over 100 people in the Netherlands. We will tell stories. And we might even share how our faith has been passed along through families and churches. Stories like those that have been part of Abby's learning in her home and school and here at Nealand. And next Sunday, we plan to worship in a church in a small town, the Vennekerk in Vinschoten. It's like those churches that Pastor Joel already mentioned. This is a building that used to have a gathering, a community gathered for worship. It was the church where Ed's parents worshiped and his dad played the organ. But now that building is used for concerts and other events. Except next week, when one of Opa's grandsons will play that same organ and one of his granddaughters will preach. It will be wonderful for us to be led by this nephew and niece in worship there. And it's also a bit sad that the building isn't really a church anymore. Throughout the ages, around the world, nearly every town has a church or a temple. Wherever people create community together, they build a house of worship to honor their God, even if it is a God they cannot see. But many of those churches and temples are emptying and disappearing. And that's another thing that will be made new when heaven comes to earth. In the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21 tells us there will also be no temple in the city, but it's not because people are abandoning their faith or their worship of God. Rather, it is because God will be present with them, and they won't need a building. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, we read, and God's servants will see God's face. That will be so amazing. What a vision. What joy we have to look forward to. In the meantime, while we remain here, let's continue to tell the stories. The story of a river with sparkling water and baptism in the name of Jesus, who is the living water. The story of a tree in the Garden of Eden with forbidden fruit, a tree with leaves for healing and fruit for eating, and a meal that nourishes us with the fruit of the vine and the body of Christ. A tree that is a cross on which our Savior died. The tree that brings us eternal life. Let's tell that story. The story of a new city, a new creation, where we will see the face of God. Let's pray together. O Lord our God, we bless your holy name, and we give thanks for your word, for your stories, for what you have been doing throughout the history of time. We thank you for trees and rivers, for so much beauty in your creation. We thank you for the tree of life and how it speaks to us of new life through Jesus Christ. We thank you that you fill us with your Holy Spirit to remind us that Jesus dwells with us even now, and to stir us to new life through Jesus Christ. And we ask you to continue to lead us by your Spirit as we seek to do your will here on earth, as we look forward to seeing your face in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.